The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here exclusively on SportsGrid. 2 hours fantasy sports talk, getting you ready for week 7. Of the fantasy football season, which of course was underway on Thursday night. We'll recap that game for you. Of course, we have baseball games this weekend. We're not sure if we would have some, but we do. Houston will try and close out their series in the American League tonight. Atlanta will try again and do the same tomorrow. Plenty of basketball to get to here on the show as well. And Davis, it's Friday, so it's, you know, time to get ready for another week of fantasy football. And of course, with the NBA and baseball playoffs going on, we got a lot to get to today.
Yeah, we have a ton to get to. We were treated to a pretty suboptimal football game last night, but we had a really good baseball game with my guy, Chris Taylor, one of the heroes of my NFBC team, coming through last night. We had some very interesting results on the hardwood last night with the Milwaukee Bucks getting blown out by your Miami Heat. So yeah, it was a pretty good sports night.
All right, so let's lead off. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. Of course, leading the charge. We should have had this guy in the MVP spot, I would have guessed, on FanDuel, Chris Taylor. He homered 3 times last night for the Dodgers, and they force a Game 6 tomorrow in Atlanta. The Heat and Hawks dominant in Thursday night wins. Pretty interesting night, as Davis mentioned, especially for Miami, who put up almost 140 on Milwaukee. How about Steph Curry? A late shot, a couple of late threes with 45 points, and he leads the Warriors to a win over the Clippers. It looks like Golden State could be formidable this season. We'll see. In the NFL, you don't really need anyone to beat Denver these days. Case Keenum, D'Ernest Johnson, those were the names last night that beat the Broncos 17-14. Just an ugly game, as Davis mentioned. No fun to watch for sure. Baker Mayfield, by the way, as you heard Chris mention in the update, has a torn labrum, also a left shoulder fracture. He'll have 10 days to figure out if he could play next week, but obviously, with the Browns winning this week, maybe they just take another week. We'll have to see. Star of all of sports last night, no question about it, was Chris Taylor of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He actually homered 3 times in the game last night against the Braves and had a chance to homer for a 4th time, joining a list of postseason greats like Babe Ruth and Reggie Jackson, who have homered 3 times in 1 game. And he was asked about that feat, as well as trying to go for the 4th home run last night.
It's cool. I haven't really thought about that. It's definitely a surreal feeling for me. You know, I never thought I was going to hit 3 homers in a game, let alone a postseason game. It just still hasn't really sunk in.
Can I ask you just a quick follow-up? When you walk to the plate knowing you have a chance to hit a 4th homer, how much is that on your mind?
I was trying not to think about it. I was really, I was just going up there and I was trying to have a good at-bat and hit a ball hard. And if it happened, it happened. But I'm not the guy that can – I can't go up there thinking about hitting a homer. I'm just – usually I'm just trying to hit line drives.
Well, Davis, the Dodgers apparently not going to go quietly. They did beat up on Max Fried pretty good yesterday, and this is what they wanted, to get to a Game 6 with Bueller and a Game 7 with Scherzer. But the Braves, on the other side, of course, have Ian Anderson in Game 6, and they have Charlie Morton, who's no stranger to winning the World Series in Game 7. Dodgers got to travel across the country again, going back to L.A. I give them credit for getting to this point, but I still don't know. Like, I think they're going to need that again in order to even get to a Game 7. But all the credit to the Dodgers, especially for Taylor. My gosh, he's a free agent, by the way, by the end of the season.
He is. He is a free agent at the end of the season. And Chris Taylor, pretty much the perfect example of a guy you have to have on a team like the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, he wasn't even projected as an everyday starter when they started the year, right? And he just filled in for everybody who got hurt. Oh, Corey Seager's hurt. Stick Taylor there. Bellinger's hurt. Stick him there. Left field, right field, shortstop, third base. You know, it just doesn't matter. He had a great season for them. Some big heroics in this game. I'm a big Chris Taylor fan, and the Dodgers probably wish they had a couple more guys like that to be plugging some of the holes that they have in their lineup right now.
Yeah, and look, we'll see what the Dodgers decide to do, because at the end of the season, I mean, they have more money than anybody else, of course, but they do need to figure out what they're going to do with Clayton Kershaw, assuming that he comes back for sure. Corey Seager is another one. Trey Turner in 2 years would be another. Max Scherzer, are they going to bring him back? So lots of questions for them. But, of course, Game 6 tomorrow night in Atlanta. We'll see if the Braves could end up closing it out. What they don't want to do is definitely go to a Game 7, because at that point, as you know, anything can happen. So we'll keep an eye on that. Of course, we'll have a preview a little bit later on of Houston and Boston. That series could end tonight in Texas, so we shall see if the Astros have enough offense, as they've shown the last couple of days, if they've saved Danny Davis for this weekend. I mean, the Astros are in a perfect spot going back to Houston here.
They are in, you know, this really good spot. I found the AL series to be much more interesting than the NL series, though, because we've had, the pitchers have all been bad in the American League, right? We've just got lots of home runs. What, the 3 grand slams in the series, which, you know, the people love grand slams, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, Framber Valdez has been basically the best pitcher on both sides, and they just used him up. I don't know, maybe he can come back and pitch a little bit in a Game 7 if they need him, but off of baseball we go, back to fantasy football, and last night's game, certainly the least exciting primetime game that I have witnessed this season. I actually tuned in to the last 10 minutes to basically see the Broncos lay down and let D'Ernest Johnson run over them to end the game. What a pathetic, pathetic performance from the Broncos. We'll get to the fantasy ramifications from that. We'll also hear from Melvin Gordon. The Broncos coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Friday. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday Night Football featuring the Browns and Broncos. Not the sexiest of matchups on Thursday Night Football, but definitely some players who were picked up off the waiver wire that ended up helping you in fantasy for sure. So let's run through it. Last night, the Cleveland Browns had Case Keenum at quarterback, and he filled in pretty nicely. 21 of 33, 199 passing yards, and threw one touchdown pass. D'Ernest Johnson, the clear story of the game, 146 rushing yards, unstoppable in the fourth quarter, 2 receptions, 22 yards, and a touchdown, filling in for both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Chubb probably back, but Hunt not in a week, so maybe D'Ernest Johnson has some value. Johnny Stanton, first time I've ever heard this name before, 5 rushing yards, 1 reception, and 1 touchdown. And Jarvis Landry was in the game, and then he was out of the game. By the way, Donovan Peoples-Jones also was hurt in this game. So Cleveland's really down to nothing. 5 receptions and 37 yards for Jarvis Landry. So not much happening for Odell Beckham or anyone else in terms of receivers. Why? Because the Denver Broncos are terrible. And they were terrible again yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater, 22 of 33. 187 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, nothing until they were down 17 or 14. Javonte Williams, 20 rushing yards, 6 receptions, 32 yards, and a score. I got my 10 points from Melvin Gordon last night, and I'm very happy with it. One touchdown, about 30 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 14 yards as well. Cortland Sutton, the poor guy, 5 receptions, 68 yards, and not much happening elsewhere. And if the Broncos are going to win any games the rest of the season, probably going to have to come on the strength of their running game. It seems like Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon are pretty good, but when you're down as much as you are, it's almost impossible to run. And that's the story, says Melvin Gordon. All right, Davis. So, look, the Browns get the job done. They played with no one. Your Denver Broncos are hurt. That's the reason why maybe they're losing. Hopefully, you're now done with that, and we can move on from that, because very clearly, they're just not good, and it doesn't matter if Jerry Jeudy was playing or anyone else. They're very poorly coached. They're not aggressive. They only start throwing when they're down 2 touchdowns, and they have a talented team. They have talent on the team. Neither of these teams, you could basically play anybody in fantasy. And I was so thrilled to see Melvin Gordon score a touchdown and get my 10 points. This guy just all season long is like the last running back you want to be starting, but somehow he gets me points every week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon got you points last night. Javonte Williams had 6 receptions and a touchdown. Melvin Gordon scores the touchdown. I think Javonte, to me, when he has the ball, he looks pretty strong. You know, the Broncos, you're right. They're not a very good team. There is going to be, some buying spots for them coming up because Jeudy is coming back off the IR. They play the Washington football team. They're terrible. And they end the season with a super soft schedule in terms of the defenses they face. They play the Chiefs twice. They play the Bengals. They play the Lions. And they play the Raiders. Those are definitely going to be some spots where we're feeling good about starting Sutton, feeling good about starting Jeudy when he gets back, feeling good about starting Fant. I also think, this is wish projecting, but I'm hoping that we see Javonte play clearly ahead of Melvin Gordon after the bye week. You know, we'll see on that. The Browns, despite winning this game, really were a mess. So Dearness Johnson was fantastic. Odell Beckham, 6 targets, only catches 2 of them, had 2 horrendous drops. Donovan Peoples-Jones injured. I believe it was a hamstring, could have been a calf injury right before kickoff. I actually was not able to sub him out in one of the leagues where I was starting him. But I think the fact that Odell Beckham looked so cooked and Jarvis Landry got banged up, you know, coming back in this game, I do think that there is a pretty big opportunity here for Donovan Peoples-Jones. None of the tight ends did anything. David Njoku, nothing. Harrison Bryant, nothing. Austin Hooper had 1 big catch and run, but, you know, no one on the team had more than 42 receiving yards. One of the things I was slightly surprised by is I thought Demetric Felton would be a little bit more involved, and I guess it was just because the Broncos were so pathetic, but, you know, 3 receptions, 2 carries, which was fine. I didn't expect him to get a ton of carries, but I did think he would play more of a Kareem Hunt style role in the receiving game. And then, of course, you know, hilarious, the fullback Johnny Stanton gets in on the action instead of any of the running backs, because, you know, that's just always how it goes.
I mean, for Cleveland, I mean, they're missing their quarterback, their receivers are, you know, just not healthy, their running backs are not healthy. I'm not really familiar with Cleveland's defense, but it doesn't seem as good as it was last year. Like, Davis, I would argue this was a soft spot for Denver in this game against Cleveland. The other thing that I would wonder is, and unfortunately we saw this with Teddy last year in Carolina, and I personally don't think Drew Lock is any good, but I would have to think, like, Davis, that Denver across the board is in job saving mode now. Like, this is basically going to be it. Like, I mean, they've lost, what, 4 in a row. That could continue to happen. My guess is, you know, they probably have to put Drew Lock back in just to save their jobs, like everybody there.
Yeah, I would anticipate that we do see Drew Lock pretty soon. Probably, I think they'll give Teddy a chance here because they got 10 days rest. Remember, Teddy coming into the game dealing with a quad injury, he was listed as questionable. They decided to end up going with him. My guess is they probably give Teddy 1 more start against the Washington football team. And if he continues to play poorly there, you know, turns the ball over, which is like the whole thesis of why you play Teddy in the first place, is that he's not going to turn the ball over. He's going to be the protector. He really is. He's thrown 4 interceptions our last 2 games. You know, he's not been fulfilling what they expected from him. And they have Drew Lock on this really cheap contract. they trade for Teddy Bridgewater pretty cheaply. Like the smart thing for them to do as a franchise and as an organization would be to give Drew Lock, you know, basically one last extended audition and say, can you give us anything? Can you give us any reason to not try to trade for Aaron Rodgers, to not draft another quarterback, you know, to not sign Jameis Winston in free agency, right? Because that's what they're going to do, right? The Broncos, if they don't draft another quarterback, and this upcoming quarterback draft class is terrible. I don't know how close right. people are paying attention, but it's awful. So I think they are. I think, you know, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, that is the caliber of quarterback that they're going to be looking to bring in next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. I think that's where he's going to end up going, because they'll do whatever possible to turn this around. You know what the unfortunate part of this is? And listen, I grew up, Davis, watching John Elway. To me, he was like one of the greatest quarterbacks of my era. It's such an uncomfortable situation to have a player of that magnitude being in charge. I don't think he's as in charge as he was over everything that was happening there. But what an uncomfortable situation to have your basically best franchise player in 50 years. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, are they still going to let him, like, do anything after this year? I don't know. I mean, it's like, I'm like Dan Marino in Miami, Joe Montana in San Francisco. It's like that same conversation to have. What do you do in this spot?
Well, haven't they already trimmed back his responsibility yeah. inside of the organization? So you probably can't fire him, right? Like, the organizational stuff is too delicate to fire him. But they probably like move him over to the business side, right? Like, okay, John, you're going to be head VIP customer relations, and you're going to go sit in the box with all of our wealthy, you know, investors or whatever.
Crazy. And Cleveland, the beat goes on after that really tough loss to Arizona. If they can get healthy in 10 days, I mean, that's just a huge win for them to at least stay alive. Remember, one extra week in the regular season, that keeps them alive in the playoff race for sure. All right, plenty more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today, so stay with us on the grid. In fact, coming up a little bit later, we'll take a look at the DFS schedule over on FanDuel with Jim Sannis. He will join us. Joe Pizzapia will talk some season-long fantasy football and preview our weekend show. Stay on the grid. Davis and I will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. Of course, it's another night in the NBA, our first Friday night of the 2021-2022 season. Plenty of good games here on the schedule to get to. Let's hear from a couple of interesting sort of takes on a couple of the games tonight. Of course, the Los Angeles Lakers, you know, sort of trying to get their footing under them a little bit with this new team. Of course, Carmelo Anthony in the offseason, but really no bigger acquisition for the Lakers than getting Russell Westbrook, and their forward Anthony Davis talked about playing with Russ for the first time.
We know him as a person, as a friend, brother, but it's our first time. I mean, we play on the Olympic team, but that's obviously totally different. All-Star game is totally different. But to play in a season with them, just me and Bron's first time. And so it takes time to kind of figure out, okay, this is what he needs to, you know, draw him back in, or this is what we need to run to kind of get him going, or this is what he'd like to do. You know, he's playing three pieces of games, him and Bron. You know, so that rhythm is still coming with all three of us, but he's very vocal, you know, and we know what he makes sure we know when he doesn't like something. So we're going to make sure that we can do whatever we can to try to help him speed that process up to get him going. But you know, he'll be fine. He has got to be himself, like I said before, and, you know, everything will work out for him.
All right, and Davis, let's start there. Los Angeles Lakers with obviously having Russell Westbrook in there. And the Lakers kind of told us this was going to take a little time for them to get ready. It seems like that's the case, but they'll play again tonight.
Yeah, and you know, for fantasy purposes, it's pretty odd because I can pretty much guarantee that there are going to be, I don't know, less than 10 games this entire season where LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis all have good fantasy games, right? You know, where they all get to their multiplier that they need on FanDuel or DraftKings, right? Because there's only so much ball to go around, and the way that Russell Westbrook has these great games, he is Super Bowl dominant. He takes the rebounds, you know, and that is a big part of Anthony Davis's game, big part of LeBron James's game. I just am not sure how compatible LeBron and Russell Westbrook are for fantasy. I actually, maybe this is a minority opinion, I think they'll figure it out for winning games because they're such talented players, and LeBron has become a much better shooter kind of in his old age. But I do think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, we log on to FanDuel and we see these really low price tags for Russell Westbrook, and we're like, gosh, we got to play him. Like, the guy's 9,100 on FanDuel. He's never been this cheap, and then he still doesn't get there.
Yeah, no, and look, and wherever he's been, Washington last year, he was phenomenal to play. We're going to bring in, after this, our producer, Brett Levy. We're going to talk some NBA with him and set a DFS lineup. Hey, the fans in Charlotte are really excited. They got LaMelo Ball. They're off to a 1-0 start. They'll also play again tonight. James Borrego, the head coach of Charlotte, talked about one of the key acquisitions they had in the offseason that wasn't really talked about a lot, in Kelly Oubre.
Well, having Kelly there, obviously, he's a proven starter in this league. You know, we're going to bring him off the bench for the most part, but he's able to step into that starting position seamlessly. He's done this his whole career. So it just adds more depth. It covers us, you know, in case of injury. You know, Kelly's going to be there whether he's starting or coming off the bench. He's going to have a major impact on this team. And I think last night was a great example. You know, his defense, his rebounding, his toughness. I know he didn't make a ton of shots last night. You know, those will fall over time, but it's just a great luxury to have a guy of his size and talent out there on the floor.
All right. Fantasy sports today. We bring in our producer, Brett Levy. Charlotte, as you know, Brett, off to a nice start. It's like overreaction time in the NBA. After one win, people get really excited. And certainly the fans are really excited as to what they saw in their first game.
Yeah, Charlotte looked pretty good. I know, still have a lot of friends there, so definitely rooting for them to be successful. We'll see if they make the playoffs this year. It's going to be tough in the Southeast with Miami and Atlanta. Washington could be competitive as well. So lots of interesting games to watch in that division.
All right, let's get started tonight. If you're setting a lineup over on FanDuel, Brett has constructed one for us. Let's talk about the little guys, then we'll get to the bigs. We got De'Aaron Fox of Sacramento, Jordan Clarkson of Utah, Josh Giddey of Oklahoma City, and I remember seeing Alexander Walker play a little bit last year for New Orleans, so I'm happy to see him show up here. I do think this kid has a bright future. So, Brett, I'll start with you, and then Davis, your thoughts on setting a lineup with these four.
Yeah, so Nickeil Alexander-Walker will be the starting two guard this year for New Orleans. Played really well on opening night, and his DFS price hasn't quite caught up with him yet, so I'm getting him in there. Josh Giddey, I mentioned a lot during the draft process, Craig. He's one of my favorite rookies. He's priced really nicely tonight, so I can get some higher-priced players in there. Clarkson, the reigning sixth man of the year for Utah, he really plays more of a two-guard role for them, so you're really only getting scoring from Jordan Clarkson. But if I get 25 points from Jordan Clarkson tonight, I'll take it and run. And then De'Aaron Fox, he's my highest-priced guard in the lineup. I like DeJounte Murray. I like De'Aaron Fox because they're number one options. They get the ball the whole game. And they play for teams that want to move the ball, push it, run, get out in transition, play athletic basketball. So De'Aaron Fox is a guy I'll probably have in my lineup a lot this season, Craig.
All right, Davis, what do you think about this this lineup here?
Well, I mean, you know, I love to see Josh Giddey in there. That's phenomenal to see my guy Josh Giddey in there, because if you guys remember, that was not who I wanted my Oklahoma City Thunder to take, but he's had a nice little start. I mean, I think he played way more than anyone expected in his first game here for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Always love Clarkson. And I mean, these are just all guys that fit the mold of kind of what we want in DFS. They're all chuckers, right? They just, when Jordan Clarkson gets the ball, we know where it's going. When Nikhil right. Alexander Walker gets the ball, we know it's headed towards the hoop.
All right, now let's move on to the bigs. And we got, two guys in the all NBA 75th year anniversary. I want to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Precious, now on the Toronto Raptors, Nicholas Claxton on Brooklyn, and Wendell Carter, Brett, at center. So walk me through the selections here.
All right, Craig. Yeah, so LeBron and Kevin Durant, pretty self-explanatory. Those are two of the best players in the league, so I found a way to get both in my lineup. Worked out last night for me having Steph Curry in my lineup, John Collins, another one, Trae Young. All these players played great last night, so you want the big names. Precious Achiuwa, kind of a salary saver there, Craig. He will be starting for Toronto. He started opening night. He was, probably, again, one of their more high-energy players, so you're hoping for rebounds. You're hoping for some block shots, some steals. And then maybe 10 points would be great from Precious. Nick Claxton, we'll see. Nets, Sixers will be a big game tonight. Should be high scoring. I didn't want to have zero players in that game, so I found a player that I could get fit into my lineup. And Wendell Carter is the starting center in Orlando now. He's a very good player, a solid piece for them. And he's a cheaper center, someone that you don't have to spend up on, but can still score 20 and 10. So, you're not expecting it every night with Wendell Carter, but you're hoping you can get it. It's a realistic shot in the dark there. He's going to play the minutes to do it.
All right, Davis. Well, look, Precious came over in the Kyle Lowry trade, if I'm not mistaken there. What do you think about the rest of the lineup?
I mean, of course you're never going to go wrong playing LeBron and Kevin Durant. Durant in particular, I actually think is being a little bit underrated by the market right now. He wasn't even one of the most owned players on that opening game to that opening night two game slate. And, I just basically think the market is kind of assuming that LeBron or that Durant and Harden are going to have kind of similar offensive responsibilities. But I would be extremely surprised in these games without Kyrie if Durant doesn't average, over 30 points, over 7-ish rebounds, something like that. Claxton, we, of course, need to remain to be seen what the Brooklyn Nets are doing with their starting lineup, because we think they're probably going to change their starting lineup a lot. On opening night, they used Blake Griffin, Claxton, and Durant all together. If I was Steve Nash, I would be starting Claxton, Durant, Bruce Brown, and then whichever guard they want, and James Harden. I have a bad feeling in my stomach that Nash is going to defer to the veterans and start Blake Griffin at center and bring Claxton off the bench. So, of course, late news in NBA, always pretty valuable. And then Precious is a guy, I just think he's really good. But I think in closer, tighter games for the Miami Heat, he probably is going to see a little bit less of a role because they're going to play Bam like 36 minutes a night in most close games.
Well, he's on Toronto now, so he doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, that's what I get for not being completely dialed in as I need to be. Brett's over there. He's scouting Oklahoma City's G League team with all of his league contacts, and I don't even know that Achiuwa got traded.
Yeah, the Kyle Lowry trade. That was the key piece, I think. I think it was the key piece going in that trade. I don't know how those things work out, but all right, Brett, appreciate it. We'll join back with you when we talk about the fantasy reality, the all-time team. NBA at 50 was what I remember. Now they're at NBA at 75. They named the best 75 NBA players of all time. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Okay, coming up next, it is time for us to preview Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. You can play this over on FanDuel's DFS site. We'll also hear from Dusty Baker. He's got a shot to win a World Series. Dusty came back for one reason, and that was to try and get the Astros back to the World Series, and he's on the doorstep tonight. We'll talk about that next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Also, a little bit later in the show, our buddy Jim Sanis and Joe Pizzapia join us for more fantasy football talk. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Or want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Nish, Davis Maddock. For those of you who are not following us on Twitter, you got to do it right now. Really easy. Just download the app. Follow us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, and, of course, some of our fun picks from our hosts. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Just a quick fantasy update here. Antonio Brown of the Bucks out this Sunday against the Chicago Bears. That is the updated report there. So more on that coming up a little bit later in the show. All right, so now tonight there is a chance that the Houston Astros beat the Red Sox, and if they do, they will go back to the World Series. This is the fifth year in a row. Of course, they've gotten to the American League Championship Series, and everyone knows what happened the last time they got to the World Series. We've talked about that for a couple of years now. This will be Dusty Baker's opportunity to get back there. Of course, he was there with the Giants. He was there with the Cubs. And now he's got a chance to go back there as manager of the Houston Astros. And certainly, I wasn't really clear entirely what he was talking about for the next minute and a half, but it's Dusty Baker, and he sounded like he was having a good time, so we'll play it for you.
I don't worry about nothing, really, taking the truth. You know, I just sometimes, you know, one of the hardest things to do in life is to accept what's given to you. You know what I mean? And so when I get through today, you know, like we haven't been able to watch really, but portions of games because they overlap. You know, like last night, our game wasn't over. And then Atlanta had started already. And then we got on the plane. We got this fancy plane, man. It is like fancy, except it's international, except you can't get network. You can't get network TV, so all the guys are like, man, it's a great plane, but, man, we want to see the games because it'd been perfect. You got 3.5 hours to kick back, you know, it's on those seats that you go, you lay all the way down, but you can't see the game. You can see a lot of movies, but you can't see games. So this afternoon, I'm going to go home. I'm going to get some Filipino food. My wife and son are here, and kick back and, you know, watch the game and scout. Because, see, that's where I do my own scout. You know, like we have scouts. And then when I watch games, I mean, I enjoy watching games, and maybe I can pick up something to help us win.
Christy?
Hey, Adam, every time I talk to you, I'm going to go get some food, huh? I just thought about that, huh?
Coach, I'm waiting for the invite. We got stone crabs I'm missing out on. We got Filipino food. And then what's it going to take?
I'll tell you, this is one of the guys, Davis, that I know that you probably haven't had an opportunity to meet him. Really nice man, a really, really nice man. And by the way, very old school understood. Does he manage the way that most managers do now? He definitely does not. But to see him get this opportunity after managing, by the way, really good clubs in an era where the analytics didn't really matter and they weren't really used, Cubs, Giants, you know, on the doorstep of World Series championships, losing to the Angels, the Cubs, you know, losing to the Marlins in 2003 in the National League Championship Series. And then was really good as the manager with both the Reds and Nationals, and he was let go, like, for no reason at all. I'm rooting for him. He's just a genuinely nice man that just feel, you know, you could just have an open conversation with him. And by the way, if he won the World Series, Davis, he may retire. Like, I could honestly see that happening. Remember, they brought him in just to transition for whatever is next because of the whole scandal that happened.
Yeah, well, isn't he... like really old? I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, but belittle him, but isn't he like 75 or something like that? Like he is even for a baseball. Yeah. Even for a baseball manager. I think that he is pretty old. Look, we already know that, yeah, he's 72 years old. So Is Dusty Baker, like, do the players like him? You know, does the front office like him? Because he probably just does whatever they tell him to do in terms of, like, hey, you're going to bat this guy here. We want you to do this with the bullpen. This is how we're going to handle the starting pitchers. Sure. Is Dusty Baker a big value add for the Houston Astros organization? Probably not, but probably at this stage, given how much everyone hates the Houston Astros, you probably don't want a nerd with his pocket protector down there in the dugout, you know, making sure that everything is being done as optimally as it possibly can be, because that's just going to add to what everyone hates about the organization. It's probably bad for signing free agents, you know, bad for recruitment. Like, the interesting thing about baseball is that it's become so analytics heavy in terms of play style and signings, but you still got to give people a reason to sign with you. You still got to give players a reason to want to play for your franchise. And so Dusty Baker is probably even, you know, a little bit of a minus expected value manager for the Houston Astros, but everything else they do makes up for it, and he adds expected value in other ways. So I'm not going to criticize him too much, but certainly if the Kansas City Royals hired me in the front office and they said, we got to get a new manager, I don't think Dusty Baker would make my short list.
Well, Mike Matheny wouldn't make it either, but he's their manager right now. The point with Dusty Baker was you could just envision a room, Davis, where they essentially had to fire their manager, fire their general manager, and fire their assistant general manager and many scouts. They sit down in a room and they're all sitting there and they're putting the pictures of the people if possible. And they said, Davis, very clearly, who is the most likable guy that will stop people from hating us, maybe 10%. And the answer was Dusty Baker, you know, like, and that's pretty much it. And so, yeah, I mean, what is he doing at this stage other than just sort of letting them do their thing? Probably nothing. But it is amazing to see him get to this point, get back in the game. It'll be tough for me if they play against Atlanta. I don't know what I would root for there in that spot. Okay, DFS tonight. Let's get to it here. Enough melancholy and over to making money. We have Rafael Devers tonight priced at about 9,600 tonight, if you want to use him. We got Altuve at 9. We got Xander Bogaerts, Yordan Alvarez, and then really some fun options here, because you can play Kyle Tucker, and he seems to be pretty cheap here. JD Martinez in a big game, I'd want him. Carlos Correa, I'd want him too. Wow, really good options tonight, Davis. Which way would you go here setting this single game lineup on FanDuel?
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't talked about this little bit of strategy enough, but obviously, you know, the big cheat in fantasy sports is correlating your lineups together, right? So when we talk about MLB DFS during the regular season, we talk about stacks. You know, you want to stack 5 guys from the same team. You want to stack 4 guys from the same team on FanDuel. You know, the double 4 on FanDuel on a full game slate. And I see people, you know, make this mistake pretty often, you know, building their single game lineups, especially when they're not using, you know, the Daily Roto Optimizer, and they're kind of just building their lineups by hand, throwing it in, you know, which is, you know, again, nothing wrong with that. I do that stuff all the time. Like last night for the Browns Broncos game, I just was like, my brain, my heart was not in it. I did not want to make 150 lineups. So I just made my one lineup, threw it in a bunch of different contests. But for baseball, you really want to be correlating your single game entries, particularly in the FanDuel game where, you know, we're not using the starting pitchers and they have the MVP slot and they have the star slot. So definitely what I would be doing in general is just trying to build lots of teams where I have 4 or 5 guys from the same team, right? So we got, you know, right. we use 4 Red Sox, we use 4 Astros. My thought tonight is that there are some pretty good buying opportunities for the Houston Astros. The other night, I had Yordan Alvarez as my MVP, hit a home run, feeling good. Some of the other Astros that I used, you know, didn't exactly get there, but you can do the correlation tonight of using Alvarez in your MVP, Brantley or Kyle Tucker in your star. Then you can throw, you know, the other left-handed in there, and then boom, you have 3 Astros left-handers. You're feeling good against Nate Eovaldi and that Red Sox bullpen, and your lineup is going to be a little bit more correlated. The other thing is on the Red Sox side, Enrique Hernandez price is just it feels like every slate they make Enrique Hernandez a little bit more expensive. And look, I love Enrique Hernandez, but what that's done is it's actually led to lower ownerships on Kyle Schwarber, Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, and JD Martinez, because people are using Enrique Hernandez as their high-priced Red Sox instead of, you know, one of these other guys. And look, I love Enrique Hernandez, but long-term, you know, three-year rolling weighted on-base averages, he's not as good of a hitter as these other guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm looking forward to this one tonight. Great, great crowd probably in Houston, I would say. As passionate a crowd as there is, they're the only fans in the country that are rooting for them. I don't know. Maybe they are rooting against Boston. I don't know. It's really interesting with these two teams tonight. Okay, MVP. Let's get to it. Who do you got in the MVP slot? You know what? I'll start. I got Carlos Correa. Biggest moment of his season comes tonight. Up 3-2. I think he comes through, hits a home run, and the series ends tonight with the Astros defeating the Boston Red Sox. Who do you got, Davis?
Yeah, I have my guy, Yordan Alvarez, mostly just because I think that he is the best hitter for either team in this series. And that's probably a little bit controversial, right? We got J.D. Martinez, this historically great hitter for the Red Sox. Devers, great hitter. Bogarts, not a great power hitter, but a good, gap-to-gap type power type stuff. And, Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, lots of good hitters for the Astros as well. But Yordan has the best combination of power, back control, he strikes out some, but not as much as you would imagine. He just is the best for me. And I, for whatever reason, the market is just not agreeing with me. Every night in these contests on FanDuel, we turn the cards over and Yordan is not even close to the most owned guy at MVP or at captain. So I'm just going to keep riding my guy, Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, no, makes sense. Alvarez has been really good. Astros have had different heroes every night. Red Sox have had several different heroes every night as well. Going back to the NL for a minute, because we won't have a chance to talk about this when we come back here on Monday, Davis, it's going to be over one way or the other, right? It'll be either the Braves move on or the Dodgers. I mean, when you think of the Braves at all here in this spot, and some people now are starting to, percolate a little bit. I still think the Braves win the series. But does it ever feel to you like throwing in the whole City of Atlanta narrative that, because they were up 3-1 last year and they ended up losing the series. Like, does that cross your mind at all going into this weekend against the Dodgers? That, here's another team from Atlanta that, goes up, can't close it out. I hate to think that.
I just think it's pretty funny in general that we, the 28-3, down 3-1, like it is pretty funny. What I would say though is on the balance, on Saturday we have Max Scherzer versus Ian Anderson. If this was a random Thursday in July, the Dodgers would be like -210, right? Max Scherzer versus Ian Anderson, like you'd take Max Scherzer. So, and Max Scherzer was bad in his last start, right? He was really not good. I think he only made it 4 1/3 innings and they had to go to the bullpen. They end up losing the game. But this game six, absolute must win. You cannot lose. This is why they're paying Max Scherzer's, $44 million that the Nationals were going to owe him. So, he better get it done, right?
Yeah, then Walker Buehler game 7. But I don't know. I mean, based on the way that Max is the most confident guy out there, and for him to say that he wasn't feeling right, a little tired, my gosh, like that right. Must mean it's real dream. That's my concern is that he's just tired and done. I don't know. Definitely be watching that game tomorrow night. Definitely be watching the baseball game tonight amongst all the college football tomorrow. Not a great college football slate, by the way. I think I can shift over to baseball tomorrow. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this first hour of Fantasy Sports Today. We got Chris coming up at the top of the hour. We got Fantasy or Reality, Sports Grid 60. And we'll be back here on FST in just 2 minutes. So stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Smith, Davis Maddock. Davis, we're headed toward another Fantasy football weekend, Antonio Brown out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What in the world with Rob Gronkowski? I thought with that matchup a few weeks ago, he was really close to playing. Remember, I mean, Bruce Arians is just totally full of it. I mean, does that guy ever say anything that's true? Remember when they played the Patriots? Oh, we'll see. This 3 weeks later, he still hasn't played. He's not playing this week either.
I hate Bruce Arians for a very specific reason, which is that he has jerked around Ronald Jones like no coach has ever jerked around a running back before, right? Ronald Jones is our starter. Oh, what did he say this week? We wouldn't dream. Or he said, I laugh at the idea of trading Ronald Jones. You know, one of the reporters at the Scrum asked him if they trade him, and he said, I laugh at the idea. But the guy never plays him. And you know, no. That week one game against the Cowboy, he fumbles and you know, we never see Ronald Jones again. Fournette fumbles and tips a pass right in the defender's hand, and they go right back to him. Bruce Arians, I'm sure he's a great guy. He actually is done, like, you know, he does like community stuff and like I'm sure he's a good guy. But for fantasy football purposes, I absolutely cannot stand him because he has just buried my guy Ronald Jones like so many times. It's so frustrating. Yeah, you're right. He's full of crap. And it sounded like a terrible injury for Gronk. Like he's got like broken ribs.
I know, but then the week of the Patriots, he was saying that, yeah, we're going to see if he could play. And then it's 3 weeks later and he's still not playing. And you're right, with Ronald Jones, not only did he bench him, but remember he came back the next week and said he was our starter. He's our starter. And then he did start the game. He got one carry and then got two the rest of the game. Just a weird, weird. I mean, a lot of these guys don't tell the truth, but that guy in particular, you cannot believe. Like, you can't believe him, you can't believe Carroll, and you can't believe McVay. Those are the three guys right off the top of my head that I do not believe for fantasy purposes. All right, Chris has the update at the top of the hour. We'll be back with more here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay with us on the grid. Our preview of the slate on FanDuel this weekend is coming up next. So stay with us as we continue on here on Sports Grid. Don't go away. Break.